Yes, we finished a week of VBS. I'm known as Paris the Parrot, by the way, just in case you're wondering. We made a slight appearance. But it was neat to see, and people were excited to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. One of the notes given at the first night we talk, and how are things going, and one of the child responded to one of the leaders and said, "I looked around, and I'm excited of what is happening." Isn't that great to hear that the kids are excited what was happening? And through the Bible stories, the craft, the missions focus, games, and even food, leaders had a chance to invest into the lives of kids in our community and in our church and around. This is the church in action when you saw VBS. I don't know if you had ever have a chance. Next year, make sure. It doesn't matter. We had some people who have been doing VBS since they've been 14, and now they're in many years. We won't say the years. And we had people doing it for the first time, so it's a great time. But this was the church in action, which leads us to our next statement in our series. We are discussing what we hold to be true, our doctrinal statements, and this is the description. The church is the visible and tangible expression of the gospel. That's what the church is. Because this past week it showed how we are the gospel as we come together. And before I explain the statement further, I want to read the whole doctrinal statement that we have in our books and in our website, and I'm going to read it and then break it into two parts. And we believe that the true church comprises of all who have been justified by God's grace through faith alone in Christ alone. They're united by the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, of which he is the head. The true church is manifest in local churches whose membership should be composed only of believers. The Lord Jesus mandated two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, which visibly and tangibly expresses the gospel. Though they are not the means of salvation when celebrated by the church in genuine faith, these confirm and nourish the believers. You see, many people around the world describe the church as a building or a place or where people meet, they go to church. The word church used this morning is not about the building, but the collective people we're going to talk about who are followers of Christ. We at Mount Olive here, to a larger extent, realize that the church is much broader than just the people who gather here on Sunday morning. But this is part of the statement, is the acknowledgement that there are local assemblies that are a larger part of the church. And our church holds to a basic doctrine similar to ours, and we recognize that Christ is the head of the larger church. And the true church that manifests in local churches should be composed of believers, those who follow in his commandments of baptism and Lord's Supper, which we're going to be doing in a few moments as we discuss and discover what it means. You see, this part of the statement goes on to clarify that the local assembly of believers, in many cases, do this week after week after week. The members of the church or those who are called to the church also have something in common. As being part of a local church, is that I'm willing to bring my spiritual gifts and talents to the collective group and encourage them to one another. Why? Because if you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 15, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature, fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro in waves of and carried about by every winds of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way to him who is the head, into Christ. Folks, this week was getting this sermon ready. I wrestled with it quite a bit. And then I heard a couple times, well, Paris is going to speak. I hope the scripture speaks. You don't hear my words, but you hear the scripture this morning. Because we are the church together, the bonds. Because God's gospel is now embodied in the new community called the church. And before we understand how the statement works out, the community called the church, I want to show you how we define this community called our church. Mount Olive's definition of a church, it begins with our mission statement. Our desire is to see people become devoted followers of Jesus. In a world where people are feeling more and more disconnected, we value the importance of community and desire to see every person become part of a smaller community within our church. We are a large church, and we work in a small church as well. We believe that we benefit when we walk side by side with people, encouraging each other as we follow Jesus Christ. This is our mission statement. To be clear, this is not my mission statement. It is not the elders' mission statement. It's not just a few people that came up with this statement. It is our mission statement. As a church, we are, or I should say, should be intentionally reaching into our community the love of Christ. Reaching out with the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ. Reaching out to our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers. We are the church when we do just that. Matthew reminds us, we are, as Jesus said to them, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The verb go is one as you go. Where you are, where you're going, where you are to go. It's hard to cover the church and all the aspects of in one sermon, especially this statement, but we look, the Bible describes as the church. One thing I want to focus in this morning is what it means to be belonging and part of the church, and that is serving in the church. I believe that being part of the church and begin to belong to part of that church is you begin to serve in the church. I often say to new people who come to the church and want to be involved, I say, how about the Welcome Center? You get to know a lot of people that. But when you hear the term serving in a church, what comes to your mind? I'm not going to ask you questions like I did the kids. But what comes to mind when you think of serving in the church? Do you see it as a drudgery? Do you see it as a duty? Or do you see it as a devotion? You see, the serving out a drudgery, the definition defines it as hard, menial, or dull work. Have you ever served in a church with this type of attitude? To be honest, I've seen people in many churches that I've been part of where people feel this way about serving the church. They do it out of drudgery. I would say at some point in their journey, it didn't start out that way, but it's like that now for them. Some call it stuck. Some call it an obligation. Some call it guilt. But it really boils down to drudgery. Most often serving comes that way when you, in the past, your approach for the time to serve, and you thought you'd give it a try. You stuck with it, and yet the joy of the Lord didn't come in time. Then you find yourself stuck in serving a ministry, and it becomes a drudgery. I was talking to a parent after VBS this week, and she related the story. I mean, she gave me permission to say this because I thought it was really funny. I think I have it right. Her grandson came over to her house after the first Monday night and Tuesday and said, and she asked, how'd you like VBS? And the child said, it's great, Grandma. Why don't you get a green shirt so that you can be a servant? The kid got it. The people are there to serve. He didn't see the role as a drudgery. Hope that for many of you, you have been in this place, or hope that you have never been in this place. I hope for you that you're not lining up to sit in my office to tell me that you are going to stop serving. But I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell people who come to my office who say this thing to me. Stop serving as drudgery. Stop serving the church if it's you are in a stuck or grudgingly. Paul wrote to the church, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints. You need to find a place where you are using the gifts. He gave gifts to equip and to build up the body of Christ. If you're looking for the verses to support this ministry as a drudgery, you won't find any of them in the scripture. It's not right we need to stop serving the church in the position of drudgery. Some of you serve out of duty. You do it because this is your duty. The second way to look at it. If you're thinking this is the correct way to serve, the answer is both yes and no. There are some responsibilities and duty, but I'm going to challenge you. If you're sitting in the audience and you've been tasked with the responsibility of leading a ministry and you can't find someone to help you, you may hear this message. Serve. If you want me to produce a list of many vacancies in the church ministries, those ministries which we are in dire need of help, I could do that for you, but that's not my point. I could stand up here and plead with you your sense of duty to be involved as people in the church, and you have an obligation and a role to serve. We could have a group of people with clipboards walking around and pitching their ministry as the best part of ministry to be part of, and if you miss serving in VBS, well, you missed out. It's too late. You can do it next year. Like the first day of school, you have that extracurricular group seeking others to join. We could seek you out of guilt. If we don't get volunteers for this ministry, we'll have to shut it down. It's your duty. We can't possibly shut down this ministry, and it's a cry for people to volunteer out of duty. I remember when we were first married and I was attending seminary, Heather and I began to look for a local church to associate with. We started attending a church in Winnipeg, and I thought it was a good idea to go sit in the pew for a few weeks and just to see it, but I didn't want to do that long. I thought it was important that we were given gifts to serve in time. So I remember making an appointment with one of the pastors to introduce ourselves and to find out in areas we can serve. To be honest, we began serving out of duty to serve God where he asked us. And we told the pastor what our gifts were and what our abilities were and what our passions were and our talents. And I began to realize I coined the phrase, he saw it as us filling holes for his ministry. Let me explain. We sat in his office outlining the various gifts that we had and the abilities that God has given us, the spiritual gifts we have seen working in our lives. We talked about our passion. We had a passion for ministry where we felt led to be involved. He listened and then proceeded to show us the various ministries that needed people that didn't align with those. He asked if we were willing to fill those spots, some of which had nothing to do with what we just had told him, but something to do of obligation. There's nothing wrong with this approach, but it's based out of a sense of duty or obligation. It's like being part of a sports organization for your children, and each person has an obligation to fulfill a part, a role, or duty. In one of the other towns, I was part of a sport organization, and we were in constant need of people to run that organization. People who wanted to run the program for the children but didn't expect others to do the work. They wanted to put their kids in it and let someone else do the work. Rules were put in place to have people volunteer out of duty. It became a requirement. That is an organization. The church is not an organization in its truest sense. It's a body. Romans remind us, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, individually members of one another. If the foot should say, because I am a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make sense if any less part of the body. And Colossians reminds us, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called to one body, and be thankful. You see, when you read through the New Testament, there is countless more times that the church is an organism than that of an organization. There will always be the tension between the two, and yet when you operate, you're serving out of duty, it becomes more of an organization than organism. But the last way of serving in a church, it's not a drudgery, it's not a duty, rather a devotion or calling. So I call it this way, serving the church and looking through Scripture, I tend to call this form as serving out of devotion. Let me pause for a moment. If you've been listening and maybe wrestling with duty and devotion and wondering if they are part of the same intent, our duty as believers should be service. We should be part of that. But I want to suggest to you that a form of a heart of devotion is sought after more than heart and sense of duty. when Samuel confronted Saul about after doing what he thought was his duty to offer a sacrifice, Samuel was looking for a heart of obedience, a heart of devotion. To obey is better than sacrifice. When Jesus asked the disciples, who do they, the people, the crowds, the group, say I am? The duty were clear. But Christ dug deeper and asked, who do you say I am? He was asking his disciples, are you serving me out of duty as a disciple or out of a devotion and love for me? So let's look at what the Bible says about service. And before we look at these specific verses, remember we're focusing in on two things. Our first is our purpose statement, which outlines why we do this as a church. We're called to be the church. We're here to serve. And secondly, as individuals, we're part of the church as disciples, growing a lifelong desire to be a disciple. So 1 Corinthians says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's a variety of service, but the same Lord. There's a variety of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Serving should be and should come from that which God gifts us and grants to us. As one person writes, serving allows us to discover and develop our spiritual gifts. I remember I was in a church once, I may have told this story before, we served many years ago. We're part of a small group and the topic of spiritual gifts came up and we discussed them and looked them and defined them all. And we went through them all and went through all the scriptures and saw, we had a lot of head knowledge. And we knew them all. And at the end of the study, the leader said, okay, we finished this and what do we want to discuss next? And I asked the question, well, wait a moment, what are our spiritual gifts? How have you seen them working in your lives? What do you feel they are? I was met with a room of blank looks on the people's faces. Maybe it was an upbringing in them, because there was a lot of believers who've been believers for a long time. Maybe it was the upbringing. I don't want to boast about what God has given me. Or maybe it's a sense of humility. But most people who were not able to state the working of God's gift in their lives in that group. What was amazing is we went around the circle and began to affirm one another in what we saw as their gifts and what their ability was. And we built up that body. This was the community of church in action. If you are questioning what gifts you have or have been given to serve the body, have you asked a fellow believer who knows you and have seen things work in your lives? What do you think God has given me? And they'll often say, well, I've seen this in you. That's an affirmation. Because Peter says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as a good steward of God's varied grace. We don't all have the same gifts or abilities. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength of God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. You see, serving allows us to experience joy and peace. When we serve from this mindset of devotion, it will come with joy and peace. When we're serving by using the gifts he has granted us and giving it back to him, we will receive joy and peace. I'm often puzzled by people who stop serving in a capacity in which they have been gifted by God to serve. And maybe that's a moment or a time in their life, but they need to go back to that. I've heard several reasons why they stop, but when I look at Scripture, the reasons fall into the category of excuses. I know there's seasons of time where the gifting you have may change, but I'm talking to people for one reason or another stop serving just plain because I don't want to anymore. It's about me, not about what the body needs. Sometimes it has to do with the leader or look what they said to me or what they did. Sometimes it's overlooking that gift, expecting others to step up to the plate and serve. After all, I've been serving this years for so many years, let someone else do it, sounding like devotion. Sometimes it's just plain stubbornness. Folks, you're in your camp. If you are in that camp, let me remind you that you, who has given you the gifts to serve? It's not me, one of your pastors. It's not the leadership of the church that's given you that. It's not even a close friend or a confidant. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Christ, the head of the body, his body ascended on high and gave out gifts for his glory, not mine or not yours. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to stand up one day in the presence of my Lord and say without wavering hesitation the way I stewarded the gifts that he gave me. I want to give a good account. Gifts empowered by the Spirit, the gifts he has granted me by his grace. Nothing is more important to me. Nothing is more important or should be important for you. Because as a disciple who is seeking to know God more and desiring to be transformed into the image of Christ, serving does that. Mark reminds us, for even the Son of Man came to be not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Is your devotion in serving like that of Christ? Are you outward focused or inward focused? You see, serving God in the church, the body, will allow you to see God's presence in your life. If you're struggling with your faith, let me ask you this. Where's your service? Are you in a place of service that has become a drudgery? Are you serving on a duty and a calling has left you, but you're still mustering, where is God leading in my life? Are you using the gifts and abilities to bring glory and honor to him? Remember, God's gospel is embodied in what we call the local church when we serve one another. Serving is part of working out and showing the gospel in their lives. The church is also that of celebrating together. Communion. I can ask the worship team to come up as we start. Prepare for that. You see, the glimpse of the church is what we hold to be true is one of the ordinances that we celebrate. The command from Christ was to practice the Lord's Supper. Folks, communion is an aspect of fellowshipping with Christ. It's not one out of duty or obligation or ritual. It's an act of being one with Christ, communing with him. In a moment, we're going to take communion, and how we do it here at this church, if you haven't been here, if you're a follower of Christ, you're welcome to join us at the table, and the worship team will lead us in some music, or music we play in the background, and you're going to come up, and in the tray there, you'll see a cup and a wafer. Just pick it up and make your way back to the seats, and we'll all take together at that time and learn about what the fellowship of believing are. So I ask you to come.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.